Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful morning. I ask you to open the minds and the hearts of the people here this morning so that they will take in your words and let them be from you and not me. In your name I pray, amen. All right, so this morning we're going to talk about Esther. If you think about it, she was sort of an unlikely choice for a queen. She was an unlikely candidate for the task that she was appointed to. But God chose her, and her life was turned upside down. She didn't know what was going to happen to her or why it was happening to her. Her uncle, or what you could call her foster father, Mordecai, couldn't help her figure it out. You could say that she had a few problems to overcome. One would be that she lost her father and mother. We don't know how she lost them, but she could have used that as an excuse not to succeed in what God had planned for her. Also, Esther was raised by her uncle and his family, and I'm sure she was treated wonderfully, but it probably wasn't quite the same as having two of your own parents. And once again, she could have said, I can't do this. And she wasn't of royal birth. She wasn't really bred to be the queen. She wasn't Persian. She was just a simple Jewish girl. And her family was unknown in the kingdom and sort of unimportant. How many of us here have ever felt that we are unimportant? That you did not have much to offer to others, let alone God. Your excuse might be that you don't have any talent that God could possibly use you for. I'm here to say that I believe each and every one of us have something that we can do for God and His service. The Bible says that we are princes and princesses, heirs to the throne. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if the children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." We have problems to face, just as Esther did. So ask yourself, what excuses do I use, or what excuses could I use? Maybe your excuse is that you don't have enough time. I can see it now. You're getting ready to set your alarm clock in the evening to get up in the morning, and you've had a long day, and you're tired, but you still have to get up early in the morning for work. So instead of setting your alarm clock 15 minutes earlier so that you can get up and spend time with God in the morning, you set it 15 minutes later and tell yourself that you'll just take a quick shower. Or maybe your excuse is that you've been through too much, and you just don't think that you can handle doing the task that God has appointed you. Maybe you lost a family member, like Esther, or you've had a rough time in your recent past. Maybe the younger ones are saying, well, I'm not really popular, no one likes me. Why should I try doing God's will when it might just cause more problems for me? But God is faithful. 2 Corinthians says, "And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" If you think that you have excuses, I want you to remember this. Esther was taken to the kingdom against her will. And once again, she lost her family. She had to leave the people that took her in when her parents died. And she lost her personal identity. She was taken away and trained for a year so that she could go in front of the king and try to win his favor. She became something she wasn't, possibly something she didn't want to be. What is it that stands in our way of doing things for God? Maybe an obsession, like unchristian music, computers, movies, television, your jobs, drinking, smoking, anything you can think of to use as an excuse not to do what God is asking of you. Is there anything in your life that takes up more time than God and what He's planned for your life? Think about that. I have to confess that if I stood up here and told you that I don't have that sort of problem, I would be lying. My obsession is having people's approval. I try to please everyone, and as a melancholy type, I take it seriously when someone disapproves of my work or something that I've done. It eats away at me. It consumes my thoughts, especially at times when I could be focusing on much more important things. For example, what I could be doing for God. And a lot of the time, when I am consumed in my own life, I forget to ask God to lead me. And sometimes I shoved what God has planned for me out of the way and acted foolishly on my own. I thought at times, I don't need God to help me with this. I can handle it. I think that I have what most people call self-centeredness. Sometimes I'm caught trying to do things without God by my side. I start thinking that I can handle it without Him. And honestly, I know that if I and others like me don't ask God to help fix it, we're going to find ourselves somewhere we don't want to be without God in our lives. As you read about Esther, you find that she wasn't self-centered, and God used her to save people. She was willing to go and do whatever she had to do, no matter what the circumstances. She was in the right place at the right time. Was it God's doing? Did He put her in the care of Mordecai? I'd have to say yes, I think so. God knew what Esther would do. At first, she was reluctant, but she was able to overcome her fear, and it takes a strong person to do what she did. It makes you think about what kind of person Esther was. She was brave, strong, and she loved her people. How many of us could have done what she did? Her words were, "If I perish, I perish." We need to be strong and brave like Esther, even when we come face to face with our enemy. Remember Haman? He was a very powerful person in the kingdom, and he had the ear of the king. I'm willing to bet that he probably had more influence with the king than Esther did, and he was able to persuade the king to make the decree to kill the Jews in the first place. But Esther stood up to him, and the enemy was defeated in the end. Esther used her influence for good. See, she could have said, "Let someone else do it. I'm too young. Oh, I'm too old. I'm not right for the job." But she trusted God no matter what the outcome. We need to trust God to use us for good things in life and in the church. And I think this sermon goes along well with our job ministry fair this morning. So what do you think God can use you for today? If He gives you the green light, an opportunity, the go sign, we should go. If we perish, we perish, right? Jesus says, "He who finds life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Then He says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" That's Matthew 16:24-26. What are you willing to do for God? What are you holding back? Why not give it all to Him? Give Him your best. Follow His will for your life. Follow His plan. Use your life, lose your life in Jesus and in His service, and you will gain it all. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to ask you today, as we pray, to please help us to remember the story of Esther and how she was willing to do what you asked of her, even though she didn't think that she was right for the task you gave her. I ask you to keep our minds clear from the distractions that keep us from going down your path. Help us to remember that to let you lead us every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.